life. Without God, we gonna fail. First of all, I don't know if y'all know this or not, but we in a war, a spiritual war. And a lot of us are losing as men. I'm going to use myself as an example. That's my son right now. He's struggling right now because of my failure in my marriage. If you don't mature in the Word of God, you will suffer in more ways than one. And going to my lesson, that's the same problem that the Church of Corinth had, and this is what Paul is discussing. Excuse me. I'm coming from 1 Corinthians 15 and 8. That's my verse, but I'm going to start a little farther up to kind of get a better understanding of what Paul is talking about. But first of all, excuse me. My lesson is the responsibility of growing spiritually. My introduction is, as Christians, we're expected to be responsible in all areas of life. Men are to take responsibility for providing for their household. Able-bodied people should work for their food. The one who is unwilling to work shouldn't eat. At times, people try to avoid personal responsibility through blaming others. Adam tried to blame Eve for his sin. Ultimately, attempts to pass the buck are futile. You may be sure your sins will find you out. A lot of us reserve our sin. We have a closet. We want to put our little toys in the closet. And then when we get tired, frustrated, hungry, what's that sexual word? Forget the name of it, but in other words, we put a little sugar in the closet. We put pornography in the closet. And then when we get weary, weak, or whatever, we go fulfill our little desires. And that's reserved for sin. We have a responsibility. Why is responsibility important? It teaches us maturity, accountability, ownership for mistakes as well as achievements. My aim today is to help us understand that if you don't grow spiritually, you will not grow responsibly. Let's say a prayer. Our Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to come before your throne of grace and just say thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for this opportunity to come up here and teach your word, Lord. I thank you for each and every mind that's here today. I pray, God, something is said through encouragement, through word, through prayer that would encourage each and every one of these brothers to grow, because that's the key. To be under a pastor, a priest, even though we are our own priest, we have a priest in our pastor that establishes our walk with Christ. If we don't have that, we will struggle. Pray, God, that we direct us to a pastor that will teach us the word of God, that we may be victorious in our life, God. Thank you for this opportunity again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul is the writer of this Corinthian letter. These epistles are acknowledged on all sides as fundamentals for our understanding of the Apostle Paul and his ministry and his message. Paul makes it clear in 16 and 8 that he wrote this letter from Ephesus during the third missionary journey, AD 53 through 57. Paul preached in the synagogues until Jewish opposition forced him to focus his ministry on the Gentiles. Paul had a reason to expect some spiritual maturity from the Corinthian Christians, but this letter reveals that the Corinthian church, instead of matured, developed a remarkable number of serious problems such as division, abuse of sacraments, theological issues, and extreme moral laxity. What happened to the Corinthian church? The same thing happens to all of us. Moral degeneracy. If we are not intaking the word of God, we are regressing. That's why it's so important to be under a teacher. Constant intake of the word of God. Growing toward the mark, growing toward maturity. That's the key in this particular problem with the Corinthians. My first point of my lesson here is we're studying it now with our pastor here. He's talking about gratitude. Gratitude doesn't come automatically. Gratitude is not a automatic thing. Just like if you raising your kid, if you don't teach them to be grateful, they will regress. They're not going to be thankful. They're not going to be appreciative. It's something that you got to teach. That's why it's very important in growing toward maturity. My scripture, we're going to go to that if you would. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. And read along with me if you will. We're going to start with 50. And it goes like this. Now I say this, brethren. When you hear the word brethren, he's talking to Christians. He's talking to brothers in Christ. That flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we'll be all changed. And what that's saying is, our hope is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Just like Jesus Christ was resurrected, we will be resurrected. And our hope is in that. So we shouldn't dwindle on the small things in life. If you focus on the word, application of the word, obedience of the word, life will not be such a struggle, because God will make sure that he give you the comforts of life in the midst of your storm. That's the promise that he said he would give. And it goes on to say here, behold, I tell you a mystery. Okay, let's go to 52. In a moment, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishably, and we will be changed. For this perishable must be put on the imperishable, and the mortal must be put on immortality. But when the perishable will have put on the imperishable, and the mortal will have put on the immortal, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And for that reason, I say, Paul is saying here, death has no sting any longer. We don't have to worry about death. That is a promise, and that is a victory. The sting of death, oh death, where's your sting? Oh death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God who gives you the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So what they're saying is, we already have the victory. If we understand the word of God, we know that we have defeated Satan. But Satan, because I just said we're in a war, because we don't understand the battle, we are being beat up and we are casualties in the war. We already have the victory. Now, how do I go about preparing for the war? You got to put on the whole armor. You know, you got to protect the mind. You got to protect the heart. You got to protect the organs. You know, you got to know how to prepare. Our best weapon is the word of God. If you're not intaking the word of God, you will be a casualty. You wonder why you're struggling in your marriage. I can tell you, I lost in my marriage and my kids suffered. But I thank God they were in church. When you got some Bible doctrine in your right lobe, you're able to recover. These people that want to commit suicide, they don't have no doctrine in their soul. That's why they don't have no hope. Our hope is in Jesus. Our hope and our power is this sword. Every day, you should get up in the morning, pray, read scripture, and ask God to protect you and direct you. That's the life of a Christian. If you think you can do anything else, you're going to struggle every day. Let's go on to my scripture. Philippians 4:58 says, therefore, my brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and knowing that your toil is not in vain. We're going to look up some of these words. We talked about victory over death, victory over sin. And before I leave, greater gratitude, let me say this. You remember Jesus healed the 10 lepers. How many came back to say thank you? That says a lot about our gratitude. Gratitude is a discipline that does not come naturally. It is an attribute that comes from spiritual growth. Those of you who's struggling with gratitude, who's struggling with whatever it may be, you know, spiritual maturity will cover. That means that you got to come and put yourself under a pastor who's teaching the word. Not just up there hooping and hollering, who's teaching God's word, who's living God's word. Somebody is that you see, Dean, that you can follow, that you have that respect for, that you know is a man of God. Our brother hit it on point. That's why his life is changing. It makes the difference to come up under teaching ministry. It makes a difference in your life. It makes a difference if you apply it in your life. That's what makes the difference. Okay, let's go on to 58. It says, be steadfast. That word's really in the dictionary mean to be resolute, dutiful, firm, unwavering, constant, dedicated, dependable, faithful, firm, loyal. You got many words. But being steadfast means that learn God's word. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the Holy One in understanding. That's in Proverbs 9 and 10. Learn who you are in Christ. This is the most important thing. A lot of us don't know who we are in Christ. We accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. Then we go back to doing what we used to do. The objective is to know, and the pastor said it, once you cross that line, you can't go back. You cannot go back. Your life is going to be miserable because you're operating in the flesh. Once you accept Jesus Christ, he say, learn of me and go forward. Because in the Christian life, there's only two directions, backward or forward. Ain't no such thing as stationary. That's why you got to continually push and go forward. And responsibility will come because of maturity. Some of us say, well, I ain't going to church this Sunday. You think that's not important. But going to church is just like breathing air to the Christian. Without going to church, you're going to struggle the whole way. And the second point is learn who you are in Christ, because we are what you call priests. Each priest is the priest of his own home. That means that you got a direct vessel, a direct connection to God. God hear your prayers. The only problem that affects your prayers is sin. When you sin, you get out of fellowship. And when you out of fellowship, God can't hear your prayers. That's why he made provisions, 1 John 1 and 9. God has an order of things. Just like he have an order of coming up on the pastor, he got an order of how you get back in fellowship. And being in fellowship is paramount to hearing your prayers and to being blessed. Because as a priest, I was telling the brother earlier, as a priest of your home, if you're not in fellowship, your whole house gonna suffer. You got to be in fellowship in order for the blessings to flow. Being an ambassador is how you bless others. You get your blessings through your priesthood, through your studying of God's word, application of God's word, serving in church, feeding the hungry, you know, helping the poor. All this work. And what James say, work without is dead. That's part of the work. That's part of your work as a Christian. If you don't do the work, you're not going to be victorious and you're not going to prosper. And it doesn't matter who behind this pulpit or what they're telling you. That's very important in your life. As members of the royal family of God, we have received two warrants from God, which authorize us to carry out certain responsibilities. Priesthood, ambassadorship. Priesthood, we receive our blessings. Ambassadorship, we give blessings. Whether it's tithes and offerings or whatever. A lot of people think, well, I can just live like a heathen and give my tithes and offerings. You ain't going to be blessed. I don't care who you are. You can keep it. God blesses your priesthood, not your ambassadorship. Immovable is the next word, which means constant, resolution, unshakable, unwavering. Immovable does not imply inactivity. We must be fully active in the work of the Lord. We can become easily discouraged by thinking our labor is in vain. But let us remember the promise that when God creates the new heavens and the new earth, his people will enjoy the fruits of their toil and see their efforts are not in vain. And that's in Isaiah 65:17-26. Remember these promises. Our hope is in the resurrection. If we work in the Lord, it is truly done for him and in his power. It cannot fail to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. Every good work, believers do his eternal benefits that, well, excuse me. Every good work, believers do his eternal benefits that the Lord himself guarantees. My conclusion. The Bible teaches us that our responsibility as believers is to work uncompromisingly as the Lord has gifted us. We are responsible for using our resources, times, money, and talents to invest in the Lord's work. James says, as the body without spirit is dead, so is faith without work is dead. Thank you for your attention.
Amen. Come on, let's thank God one more time. Amen. Amen. You know, two words that Brother Ronnie mentioned that you have to be very mindful of. You know, he'd be using the big words too. I don't know what all these big word preachers. What you call it? Lasciviousness or something like that. He done got me all messed up. But the two things that you have to understand and do some studying on, priesthood and ambassadorship. A priest takes care of the well-being of his house, of the household of God. A priest has a very important position. An ambassador goes somewhere else. And he, what does he do? He represents. Oh, come on, somebody. You are a priest when you come home, but you're an ambassador when you go to work. I don't think you hear me. Amen. And so it's real important to realize that, you know, there's a time to be holy. You know, sometimes we go out in the world, right, and we get Satan just hit us.